Hello and welcome back to Checkpoint XP on Campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. I am your host, Norris Howard. I'm joined by the beautiful people out at the UNLV studios, Daniel Agbuya and Jacob Brothers. Say what's up, guys.
How's it going?
You guys are looking beautiful today.
That's right. So we're going to jump right into all the stuff that went down at one of the biggest events in gaming. That's right, DreamHack. This year, they had DreamHack Atlanta. It was a huge event, but also had a couple college events going on as well, which is really, really cool. NACE partnered with DreamHack, and they were able to have both Smite and Rocket League finals out at the event. And in Rocket League in particular, Missouri Esports continued a absolutely amazing, amazing run. They started off a little slow, though. I know you guys were able to check out just a little bit of their run in the Boost Cup when they came up against Onset. Jacob, I know you were not necessarily happy about that match.
Well, no, happy is not the right word, but because I watched it to be aware of what happened, and then I thought I was watching the wrong game, because the finals happened, and I was like, why is no one smiling? Why is no one reacting? They're just like, yeah, we won.
It was the weirdest thing. You guys win a big tournament, and I just personally didn't feel the energy from them. I don't know what was up with that. Was there something? Was it early morning? What happened?
I don't know. But then when they were interviewed, they were like, yeah, Missouri played good.
But
it was like, okay.
Missouri did, tough loss to Missouri, but you know what? They bounced back from it because, they ended up winning the NACE tournament there.
I think an undefeated win can kind of make up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And, especially in a game like Rocket League where, the level of competition is so fierce and it's very easy for you to just mentally check out and end up losing a match. So to go in and dominate opponents and completely run away with the entire season, congratulations to Missouri. We're going to have more on that. That team in particular, where we're going to have Blanks, one of the players from the Rocket League team, joining us in just a little bit and talk to us about his experience at DreamHack Atlanta. But I want to throw it back to you guys. DreamHack is an event that's been around for a really long time. DreamHack has been around for as long as I can remember. And yet and still, people don't get hype around DreamHack the way they get hype around many other events. Why do you guys think that is?
Well, me personally, I'm aware of DreamHack because, a fighting game fan. It's usually one of the premier tournaments in the Capcom Cup.
I watch Counter-Strike, the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what is it about DreamHack because I know DreamHack proper in, is it Switzerland that's usually in? Or
Sweden,
sorry, my mistake. That's always the big one, so my opinion is look, this is one of the the spinoffs. This is DreamHack Atlanta. It's just relatively new, so I think that's why it's still kind of starting off a little slow.
I mean, it appears like they get decent traffic flow on Twitch.
Yes.
So I never even realized that it wasn't as successful as the other tournaments because when I watch it, I'm like, oh, this seems fine. But they really don't put a lot out there. I didn't even know they were doing college tournaments until we talked to our friend of the show last week, and it's just oh, they're doing college stuff. This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Mm-hmm.
When really, if that's a new avenue that a lot of outlets aren't doing, you'd maybe want to push that to get more people to watch.
Exactly. So what the issue is, we need more promotion, especially on the college side. We're at a really, we're on the precipice of something big here, and the more promotion we have, the better. And DreamHack is a known name, so they should benefit from having promotion.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Daniel, because I've yet to see what's going to be sort of the big tentpole event for college esports. We know League of Legends is going to have Worlds. We know that, Overwatch League is going to have the grand final somewhere in the contiguous United States. We don't know what's the big tentpole event for college esports, whatever esport it may be. And so I think it becomes really a really important move for DreamHack to sort of position themselves is to say, hey, why not make it DreamHack? Why not come do it here? So I think the partnership with NACE was a good start. But I also think that, go a little bigger. Maybe say DreamHack, Montreal or something, or DreamHack Austin is where every grand final for all these collegiate esports happens. And from there, we could just have a blast and everybody will walk away champions of some esport.
Yeah, they could benefit from adding more games to this roster.
Well, we've talked about how a lot of college esports is very, like, localized.
Yes.
And so I think if DreamHack Montreal happened, DreamHack Atlanta happened, I think if we had more, like, kind of divisions where, like, there's these events where these teams in this region can go, mm-hmm. and then there's, like, a grand final somewhere else.
At DreamHack so
it's, like,
proper,
defined.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be cool if you did, like, a proper build-up. I think that'd be a really good idea.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. We also want to show some love out to Georgia State University, who ended up winning out in the Smite tournament. And just a couple quick FGC results that went down. Woo. At DreamHack. We had Mars winning out in Smash U.
Clutch,
Ninja Killer in MK11. Ninja Killer probably only won because Sonic Fox wasn't there. And we also have Anakin winning in Tekken 7, the great hope for North America in Tekken.
Norris, but, who won the King of Fighters tournament there?
No, but go away. Go away.
You're telling me no one was maining carry in King of Fighters 14 at DreamHack? How could that be?
I'm tired of you and your attitude,
let's
Jacob.
Move on, Norris.
I don't
want
to hear it continuing the slander to FGC. I'm not here for it.
Thank you.
But we're going to move on because big moves went down.
Oh, man.
In the Overwatch League. Big moves. And the Houston Outlaws have found a buyer. They now have a home. A team that had been looking for ownership for the better part of a year now has landed in the hands of Beasley Media Group. Now, full disclosure, Beasley Media Group also owns Checkpoint XP as well as Checkpoint XP on campus. But this is still a move that allowed the Houston Outlaws really to have the latitude to continue to make moves and become more competitive in the OWL. And Jacob, I know you're very excited about this. I just want to run down how many pickups they've made so far this season,
yeah,
in case you didn't
take.
Know.
That's a
All right.
Answer.
Just this offseason, we have Hydration coming in from the Los Angeles Gladiators as a flex player. We have Mecco coming in from the New York Excelsior as a tank. Rappel coming in as a support from the runners-up Vancouver Titans. We have Harsha Bandy coming in as a head coach, formerly of the Vancouver Titans. Blase coming in from the Boston Uprising as a DPS. And Dream coming in to a assistant coach position. So, this is a team that was sort of floundering in the doldrums last season, but do these moves, coupled with new ownership, can the Outlaws make noise next season?
I think it's very possible, because, I mean, like, as Norris just said, they were a team that was just kind of there. Like, everyone wants them to do well. They have, like, the coolest, like, colors and name, and, like, they're not aggressively bad. They were never, like, bottom of the barrel, but they were also never top tier. So you get, like, Hydration and Mecco specifically, and then you also get some talent from the runners-up of the Grand Finals.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, have a lot of talent, and coaching in the Overwatch League is a really big part. Because when I'd watch the Spitfire, it's like, oh, this coach left, and then they would go horrible. It's like, oh, the coach came back. They go back to the top. And so I think getting new coaching talent and player talent is going to make them look like an entirely new team.
And also, I kind of want to point a question here. They are going to be staying in Houston. I am actually kind of surprised about that. Do you see that staying?
I mean, I hope not. I think Las Vegas should have a team, personally, because as we are a growing sports town and esports is big in Las Vegas, it's kind of dumb that we don't have a team
here. What about Detroit, where Beasley happens to be based in?
Oh?
Well, let me put it this way. That's beyond anything
that's
anybody here can
raw.
Speculate.
I know, raw hopes and dreams.
Raw hopes and dreams, but I think moving to Houston and having that home away dichotomy is going to be great. I can't wait to see what it's going to be like when they eventually play the Dallas Fuel. That's going to be nuts. I believe there may be a fight or two. Anything can happen. But I will also say congratulations to Harsha Bandy as a coach because he's a Houston boy, so he's moving back home. Well, that's really cool to me. I love when people can do that. But we are going to have more coming up from Checkpoint XP on campus, where we are going to be joined by a very special guest from Mizzou Esports to talk about their championship run in NACE this fall. So stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your number one resource for collegiate esports. We have a very special guest joining us on the show today, Noah Blanks Diasis. He's coming out of Mizu Esports, one of the best in Rocket League. So, Blanks, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. It's going good. So, first of all, I have to ask, you guys were able to go out to DreamHack Atlanta. What was your experience like out there?
It was great out there, man. I love the city. It was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is DreamHack is such a huge event, and it's a legacy event that's gone on for many, many years. And so it was really cool to be able to see you guys and other collegiate teams go out there and represent. So how did you and your teammates feel about it? What did you guys talk about in the run-up to DreamHack Atlanta?
We were super excited to go out there after, you know, playing the whole season, and we actually had an undefeated season. We figured that, I mean, we were going to get to go out, and once we actually did, playing at DreamHack was really cool, man. Going out to meet other collegiate teams, you know, these are people we've been playing online for a long time, and be able to actually see them in person, shake their hand and, be casted while doing it and winning it all. It was super cool, man.
Yeah, and so speaking of that undefeated season, you guys didn't drop a game in the NACE fall season leading up to your eventual championship. You know, what was the process like as you guys saw that streak continue to grow? Was there a feeling around, you know, mid-season where it's like, hey, wait a minute, we can finish this off without dropping a game?
We really didn't think like that. It was more so we tried to go into each game as a new game. That way, we've had problems in the past with complacency, where we'll treat a team that we've beaten in the past like we're gonna win again, and we go in kind of complacent, like I said. And sometimes they'll reverse sweep us or do something like that. And you can't have that happen at an event like that. So we treat each series like it's a new series, a new team. We go our hardest every time.
Yeah, and definitely that's something that a lot of, you know, top tier teams must always be wary of is complacency. But I want to shift gears a little bit because you guys participated in the Boost Cup as well at DreamHack Atlanta. Now, that didn't necessarily finish the way you guys wanted, but what was that experience like playing against, you know, very different competition from what you've been going up against in the NACE Collegiate run-up?
Yeah, so a whole different set of competitors for sure. It was definitely more competitive than the NACE championship, just because you know, those are the best of the best, man. I mean, Astro, Bluesy, and Calm, the team that we faced in finals on main stage, those guys they play this game for real, man. And if you don't come with your A game, which we didn't this time, they're gonna win it every time.
Yeah, and you know, even though you guys were not able to pull that out, I mean, just to see how competitive you guys were, even against that sort of open style tournament, was really, really heartening. But I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about college esports as a whole. Now, this thing is continuing to grow. We're seeing more and more schools continue to invest in esports. What is it like to be one of the first programs in the country, one of the top programs in the country in Rocket League? What's it like, you know, telling your peers and your family that, hey, I go to school and I play video games?
It's kind of a different conversation with everybody, to be honest, depending on, you know, their knowledge of gaming. Definitely younger kids talking about it with them is really cool. You get to explain that the stuff that these kids are doing every day once they get home from school, you're doing that like for college, man. So they're super psyched about it. But then when you have that conversation with parents and older adults who don't quite understand esports yet in general, of course, but when you have that conversation with them, it's more of, you know, walking them through the process of how the competition works and explaining that you guys are playing video games as a, almost as a college sport. Don't think esports is is really a sport, but it's kind of the same process as far as the competition goes. So two different conversations with two different age groups, I guess, but it's really cool. It's fun to compete at the college level.
Sure, for sure. And so do you see, you know, this as a pathway necessarily to, for a lot of kids to become pro, or do you see it as more so maybe just go and get scholarship money and finish out your college career and then maybe think about that later?
It's definitely more for scholarship money and think about it later, because if you really are trying to go pro, it's so hard to find the time in college, man. Unless your credit hours are really low. The thing is that schools if you're going to be in the esports program, for most schools anyway, they require you to be a full-time student. So 12 credit hours or more. And that really just, with the schoolwork and on top of that, going to classes as well, it's really hard to find the time needed if you're going to put the work in and actually become a pro. So definitely more for the scholarship money here.
Yeah. And lastly, what advice would you have to, you know, high schoolers or maybe college freshmen coming in that want to get involved in an esports team at the college level or esports club? What advice would you have for all those kids out there?
Man, as long as you have the time, be sure you're putting the work in. It all comes down to the complacency thing I talked about earlier. We're super lucky to be in the spot we're in, and there's always going to be some high school kid who just had a bunch of time on his hands and grinded a game, and he grinded it possibly harder than you. So once you get to this college level, I would just be sure that you keep putting the work in. It's all about if you're really not starting to be interested in the game anymore and you're not practicing as much and you know it's starting to not be for you, it's time to get out of the game, man. So I just recommend putting in the time while you've got it in high school. You've got a ton of free time. Use it.
All right. Noah Blanks Diasis has joined us here on Checkpoint XP on campus. Blanks, where can they find you? Social media, where can they see some of your game footage?
It's going to be Blanks_RL on both Twitch and Twitter.
All right, well, thank you very much, and we wish you guys even more luck in the winter semester and beyond, and hope you have a good one.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
We're going to have more coming from Checkpoint XP on campus, so stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. And listen, guys, if you want to be a part of this massive movement called college esports, if you want to share the stories of your campus, if you just want to be cool, then slide over to checkpointxp.com, hit that on campus tab, and we're going to have an area where you can fill out and let us know what's going on your campus. Do you have a friend of yours that is a absolutely lights out League of Legends player? Do you have a buddy who's completely washing everyone in Rocket League? Let us know about it. Send us your clips. Send us your stories, send us your tweets, and we will rebroadcast them here on Checkpoint XP on campus. But we're going to slide over and talk to Kevin Pond. Daniel definitely talked to him and have a really great conversation. He's coming out of UC Berkeley to talk about their esports scene. Take it away.
And thank you very much, Norris. And today we have Kevin Pond here on the show. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Nice to be here.
Kevin, tell me what you do for Cal Berkeley.
So I'm the Cal Esports Program Manager. That means that I manage the new Cal Esports Community Center, which opened in 2018. And I also manage the Cal Esports Competitive Program, comprised of 23 teams. and almost 150 competitive student athletes who play in esports competitions all over the United States.
150? Oh man, how do you do it?
A lot of dedication, a lot of passion.
So how did you actually get involved in esports?
Well, I came to Cal 2014, wanted to be an engineer, didn't know what I wanted to do for fun. However, I did find a gaming club called Esports at Berkeley, which is different from Cal Esports. It was just a student club at the time. I got involved there freshman year, started, you know, working on some teams, played competitive Dota 2 for all 4 years. But halfway through, I made the decision that I really wanted to pursue gaming and esports and see if I could make a career out of it. Became president of that club. Then eventually, I think the end of 2015, beginning of 2016, we approached the university, specifically the Department of Recreational Sports, and we pitched it as a sport club, and it was accepted. So moving up from a sport club, it became a full-on recreational sports program. That falls now under the Division of Student Affairs. It's not with athletics, but it just was a really great fit for us, and from there, it developed into the program that it is today.
So cool. So how would you say the collegiate scene is different from the pro scene of esports?
The collegiate scene is even more Wild West than the pro scene, I would definitely say. It's like you have programs that are well established, you know, like UC Irvine, UC Berkeley, that are competing against just a couple friends who made a club. It may not even be an official club, you know, at some other university, and their team might be very, very strong, just like our teams are very strong. And it's kind of a weird space where you have teams that are just showing up like in their pajamas on a camera versus a team wearing jerseys. But everyone feels like everyone else is on an equal playing field in the sense of the ability to play, the ability to compete. Definitely having a center, having university support assists students with accessibility. But esports in general at the collegiate scene is very inclusive. And pretty much anybody is able to compete if they want to, if they have the passion.
And what makes Cal Berkeley's program different from a typical esports club?
Well, we're not necessarily a club. We're an officially recognized and supported like campus program. We're run by the campus. I'm a full-time campus employee, been here since 2018. And there are not too many universities with that level of support. They might have a program that's run by students that the university supports, but not a lot of colleges actually have dedicated university staff who run those programs and make it like a divisional program. But that's not the only distinction. We like to focus on inclusivity. We like to focus on community. That's why we called our esports space a community center, not an arena, because we focus on catering to the students, the clubs, groups that want to come in and do things besides just compete at the highest level. Of course, we support all of our student athletes with all of their competitions, with jerseys, with travel. But the majority of what goes on at the community center are events hosted by student clubs that are just bringing people together to play games and build social connections. We also offer many different services through special events like our Xfinity Halloween LAN that brings professionals and industry experts to the campus and connects them with students looking for a career path.
That sounds really cool. I want to loop back to something you said there. So how important is it to provide that support for your esports athletes, including like not just physical support, but mental support?
I think it definitely helps students and their families feel like that career path is viable. It used to be, you know, when I started the Cal Esports program together with the university, there were no models. There was nobody to look to. I think Irvine was in their very first year. And we talked to them, but to that extent, there was no path. We had to blaze it from the very beginning. And since we've done that, the students who have come into the program are feeling more comfortable. They're feeling more secure. They feel like with university support that it's being legitimized. Certainly the competitions have been legitimized for a number of years now, but as far as actually going into the university, picking this kind of right now, I'd say it's in addition to their schoolwork. We don't want to make the esports tournaments more important than classwork. However, teams do focus a lot on that. We want to make sure that they're well supported and they feel like they have all the tools that they need to succeed.
Wow, it sounds very exciting, Kevin. Where can people find out more about Berkeley Esports?
Well, we have a number of social media accounts. Our primary two are our Twitter and our Facebook, which would be Cal Esports at Berkeley. Also, our primary website, which is RecSports at Cal Esports at Berkeley. And if you want to reach out to us, you can contact us on Twitter, on Facebook, or directly by email, which is available on our website.
And unfortunately, that's all that time we have left today. I would like to thank you once again, Kevin, for taking the time to talk to us.
Absolutely. It's been great.
And back to you, Norris.
We want to thank Kevin and Daniel for their conversation. We are going to have a lot more coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I want to see more of that, but a fancy flick over the top and the one-timer blinks.
Oh my God.
You are a rude dude with attitude at this point, and Mizzou is looking stellar. 3-0, 3-4-3.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. For our last segment of the day, we like to have a little fun or maybe just get on our soapbox for something. So we have one of our managing editors, Kevin Kelly, joining Jacob in the studio to talk about Jedi Fallen Order and their experiences with the game. So guys, how are you liking it?
Woo! How far in are you?
I'm a decent way through. I'm on Kashyyyk the second time around.
Is that the red one?
No, that's Dathomir, my pal.
Okay, I don't know these weird names, but I'm probably like 4 or 5 hours in, and I'm really liking it. The atmosphere is really good. I know you're playing on a console, so it looks not that great.
Yeah, okay.
But on a PC, man, that man's looking clean. And so everything about this is just Star Wars, right? Like, you hear the music, you're like, oh, this is nice. You see the planets, you're like, oh, this is nice.
My thing is, like, initially, because, like, the graphical limitations of a PS4 Pro, by the way.
Yeah, that's pretty
weak. It turned me off, like, initially to the game, and, like, I was just like, God, I'm not feeling it so far. But playing it on a bigger TV and getting, like, really good feel for the combat and whatnot, it's gotten me, like, you know, I've gotten, you know, a better feel for it, and I'm really getting deep into the story now. And I think Cal's a pretty compelling character.
Well, I think the game opens so strong. It's like very much an Uncharted opening, mm-hmm. which is really cool. We're like, oh, let me hang from this bullet train as there's Cliff Face just rushing by my head.
Yeah,
it's like, bro.
The action starts
right
away. And it doesn't really let up until, you know. There are some aspects of it that feel more like, you know. This sometimes I forget I'm playing a Star Wars game. We're tomb raiding.
They really want you to explore. Sometimes a little too much. The exploration is cool, and like the parkour is cool. But sometimes they're like, "Hey, we want you to look around this planet."
Can we talk about one thing though?
Hmm.
Cal Kestis is a scrub, just the biggest scrub Jedi ever. Because every time I'm trying to take out a simple scout trooper, I have the utmost difficulty. This game is hard. I don't understand.
Good. Yes, Kevin. Use your fear. Only your fear will allow you to switch the difficulty to story mode. Then your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
How can you call us out like that?
But I'm a real gamer.
That's so evil.
No, you have forgotten that gaming is about fun.
No. How are you so dark?
I'll never lower the difficulty.
We'll never listen to you. We have friendship.
So, very well then. If you will not turn, then perhaps he will.
He?
Kevin.
Thanks to Sith Scalia, I guess, for trying to bring everybody to the dark side. That's going to be it for Checkpoint XP on campus this week. We want to thank all the folks in the studio, Kevin Kelly, Daniel Agbuya, Jacob Brothers, as well as all the UNLV faculty. We also want to thank everybody here helping us out at the Detroit studios, Chad Callahan, Rick Hargerheide, and Leslie Fitzsimmons now. So we hope and we demand that all of you return here for Checkpoint XP on campus. Bye, y'all.
Sorry for trying to slash
you. Midichlorians.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.